today that I think is very important. What is Christianity? And we live in a world where there's other religions, and we're realizing that more in this country than we have in the past. You see, in the past, America was basically a Christian group of people. And I use that term like the world uses it as far as Christendom is concerned. Anybody that believes in the first four books of the gospel are referred to as a part of Christendom. And I'm not saying that this is a Christian nation. Sometimes it's far from it and getting worse. It is something that in this country, we're seeing more religions coming in. Someone has said that there are over 300 or 400 different religious groups that have come into the United States in the last few years. And certainly that's true. And so what we've got to do is to understand, we have to help people see the distinctiveness of what Christianity is really all about. And help them to understand. Help us to understand that too, so that we can know how to stand where we're supposed to stand, what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to live. What is a Christian all about? And so we want to look at this question, and I want you to see this. And I think it's important. What is Christianity really all about? Now, the passage read in your hearing a while ago is one that we're going to look at just a little bit that should help us to understand that a little bit better. Now, I got the next question. I got another question here. What did I do with that thing? I got it somewhere. Ah, here it is. If I ever hit this insulin pump, I'll just fall down, okay? I'm wired for sound, I'm telling you what. I've got more electrical stuff on me. It's a wonder I don't get hit by lightning. But this is important. This question is important. What others think about Christianity? Now, what do other people think about Christians? Now, it might surprise us to ask this question and to really seek to find the answer. Now, I think other people look at Christianity in a different way than we do. And we see that in the world we're living in. And we've got to understand that people don't look at Christianity like we do. And sometimes we don't look at Christianity like we should look at it. Now, how do some people look at Christianity? Look at this first of all. Some people think that Christianity is just Jesus of Nazareth. Well, that's true to a certain extent, and it's not. It is about Jesus Christ. It is about His life. But it encompasses more than just knowing about this fellow named Jesus Christ. Other people look at Christianity and they see this thing they think of Jesus Christ just as a large church building or maybe a particular congregation. They look at Christianity in that vein. And then thirdly, some people look at Christianity and they think about a system of belief in opposition to other people. And that's not a good way to look at it either. And then there are those that look at Christianity and think about it only as money, politics, and power. Now, we live in the world. You can look at any one of those things, and if you really want to be honest, you can see a glimpse of every one of those things in Christianity. Because many people have got away from what the Bible teaches, away from the truth of God. And so what they've done is gone and they've changed what God has. That's the reason we need to stay in the Word of God. We need to study it. Don't depend. Listen to this now. This is important. If you don't get anything else out of the lesson, wake them up, okay? Ladies, wake your husbands up. Follow the Bible. That's it. Don't get away from it. Because we think we're smart. And we think we know when maybe we need to study more often. The Bereans, as we talked about a little bit later, they searched the Scriptures to see if those things that they were being taught was true. Search the Scriptures. Look at that. Don't depend on a preacher for your salvation. And don't depend on elders. And don't depend on your mom and daddy. You've got to have your own faith. You've got to have your own beliefs. And you've got to be willing to believe and trust and depend upon God. Now, look at this. I don't usually put passages up there, but I wanted this one up there today. I wanted you to see that. I hope you can see it and read it. But Jesus called them to Himself, His disciples, and said to Him, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them." Here are these people in the world. Now, here's how the world does this. Somebody is in power. Somebody is going to get the power over somebody else. Some people think that that's what Christianity is about. And let me tell you something. It's true in some places. You're saying, yeah, those people in the world. No, no, no. I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about congregations where people are seeking power, not that they might be able to help other people come to God, but just the power that Jesus said, listen, it's not going to be that way among you. You're not seeking for the power over other people. Now, how did Jesus say this? If you want to be the first, what do you got to be? Wow, man, y'all got tired blood this morning, and I was up all night long. I want you to understand this. It's very important that we understand this. Jesus wants us to know that we are not in here for power, but we're here to help other people to know God. If you want to be first, what do you got to be? Last. That's what you got to be. Do you see how Jesus took it? And you understand what they talked about when Jesus turned the world right side up? Now, the world said he's turned it upside down, but what he had done is turned it right side up. Sometimes we have more belief as far as the world is concerned than we do as far as the church is concerned and God's Word is concerned. And especially today, as far as Christians are concerned. Don't seek for power over other people. Seek to help other people to know the right way to go. That's what Jesus was saying. He said, it's not going to be that way among you. If you want to be first, you be last. If you want to be the one in power, you be the one in service. Isn't that what he did? Isn't that what he said? He came not to be served, but to do what?
Serve.
He came to serve. Let me ask you something. What's your service? What's your service? What kind of service do you render for the Lord? Can you say, I give my Lord this, and I give him this, and I give him this. Let me tell you, if you got a thing for 5 minutes to figure it out, you're in trouble. Big, deep, dark trouble. We need to know our service, and we need to put ourselves in the service of God. Now, that's helping people that are in need. That's teaching a Bible class. That's doing the Lord's Supper. That's leading a prayer. That's helping around if something needs to be done around the church. Those things are things that need to be done. It's teaching a Bible class. It's doing bulletin boards. It's doing a whole lot of things. That's a service to the Lord. Do it to the Lord. Don't do it so people come up and say, oh, Charles, you had a good sermon today. Had a young preacher one time. He said, I just don't like going to the back door back there so those people will tell me thanks. I said, some of them don't tell you thanks. Some of them say, that's the worst sermon I've ever heard in my life. You heard about the young man that the new preacher got there and the preacher got up and preached and he walked by. This young man did said, that's the worst sermon I've ever heard in my life. Walked off. The preacher said, okay, some people just don't like it. Next week, same guy come by and said, man, if I couldn't preach better than that, I'd quit. Third week, the guy came by. He said, hey, is the worst thing, how can you even think that was a sermon? And the guy met with the elders and told the elders, said, this man, he's come by 3 weeks and said things about my sermon. They said, don't worry about it. He's not really all there. All he does is repeat what he hears. So it's not a matter of just getting patted on the back all the time. But Jesus said, I want you to know the idea of you is service. You're to serve the Lord. You're to serve Him and give your life. And that means more than just, well, I got to go to church. I'm going to go to church. Well, how long? You know, I've had people ask me, do I have to come on Wednesday night? I said, you don't have to come on Sunday morning. You don't have to come at all. You don't have to. You get to. You get to come and worship with your own brethren that love you and care for you. And they'll love you when you're unlovable. They better. That's what Christianity is all about. That's what we've got to be about. Sometimes in the church, we talk about Christianity as though what you do is you're baptized and then you're in, and that's it. Let me tell you something. If all you're thinking about is baptism and that salvation, you are wrong. Because it, and that's a part of it, okay? Don't go away saying I'm saying that's not a part of it. That's a part of it, but that's not all of it. Too many times we have preached as preachers and we have taught people, oh, you've got to be baptized, you've got to be baptized, you've got to be baptized, and we left the impression that that's all you got to do. Because people come, they're baptized, they walk away. I'm in. You said, be baptized, you're a Christian. That's it. Well, let me tell you something. If that's your idea, you're going to be lost. No way around it. You've got to give your life for it. You've got to serve God. It's not a matter, do I have to, but you get to. You get to be a servant of Jesus Christ. You get to be one that you're going to be willing to look at others in a different way than the world looks at others. It's not how much power I can have over you, but it's how can I help you? How can I help you to be a better Christian, to be a better child of God? How can I help you that you can be a part of the kingdom? That's what Jesus Christ was trying to do. Some people in the world, their idea is power, politics, and money in the church. Let me tell you something, that's not it. What is the church really all about? What is a Christian, and what is this Christianity? Matthew 16, verse 18, this is a passage that most people in the Church of Christ can get. What is it? It's right there. Let's everybody say, okay. And I also may say to you that you are Peter. Am I the only one here? Cheats, I said we're going to say it together. Hey, man, I love. You know, that's the reason that in the Church of Christ we don't have a choir. We were looking one time at a Baptist church going to buy it for a congregation that I was working with, and the Baptist preacher said, we have a choir. Y'all don't have a choir. I said, Church of Christ preachers are kind of skittish. Anytime anybody gets behind them, they don't like it. He became a nicer fellow after that. But I want you to see this. This is Peter. I will build my church. I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell, the devil and all his angels and all that are there cannot stop it. There is nothing that can stop the kingdom of God, the church of God. Nothing. It's going to exist. Now, whether I'm going to be a part of it or you're going to be a part of it, that's another question. But it will not be destroyed. Jesus said, I will build my church. The church is God's house. It's not this building. We say that, and then we're getting a fight about eating in the church building. We're getting a fight about what we can do in the church building. Let me tell you something. Christianity is more than a building. It is a heart. It is a life. There's where it's at. We argue about eating in it, drinking in it, doing all other stuff in it. Let me tell you something. Look at your heart. That's where it's got to change. You can never have a kitchen in your building. You can never even have a building and not be a Christian. Did you know that? If it's not found in a heart, Jesus Christ didn't die for a building. He died for people, that people could be a part of the church. And that's what he said. In Acts, the second chapter, a little bit later in that passage, God added to the church, to His body, to His people, to those people that are going to follow Him. He added those people to Him. Didn't even have a building at that time. And please don't think I'm bemeaning anybody that doesn't eat in a church building. If that's their belief, then that's fine. You go with it. Don't go against it. But let me tell you something. Act like a Christian to other people. That's what Christianity is all about. And you know, maybe the reason people have so many weird ideas about the church is because of some of the weird ways we act. And I can understand why they'd get some of those ideas sometimes. Could you? Be honest. Be honest. Don't lie. Be honest with yourself. Understand how important this is. Understand how necessary this is. Now, Christianity is about Jesus of Nazareth, and it is about Jesus of Nazareth. Now, it's not just about somebody that lived a long time ago and he died, but it's about Jesus Christ and how he lived there. From the beginning, Christians have placed an emphasis on a belief in Jesus Christ. It has had to have that. Acts 2, verses 22 through 24, that's what it's saying there. You believe. This whole thing of Christianity is based on Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. He came to this earth to die for us, and He did that so that we could be forgiven of our sins. You're not a Christian because of what you've done. You're not a Christian just because you've been baptized. You're a Christian because Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. And the way you contact that is through baptism. It's more than just that. It's more than just a dunking in the pool. It's a life that's lived. And it's not how good you are. Because, read Romans 5. When we were, what does it say there? Sinners. When we were enemies, when we were fighting against God, what did God do? Sent His Son. Y'all gonna have to read this Bible every once in a while, people. I mean, you know, break down. Get it. He sent His Son. When you didn't deserve it, I didn't deserve it, the world didn't deserve it, what the world deserved was the fire to blow it up, to burn it up, to destroy it. That's what was deserved. But He came in to cleanse us, to make us right with God. Now, He did a good job in that. He washed you, He cleansed you, He made you whole. Read that in a book. But understand something. We still sin, don't we? We have a God who's ready to forgive us when we sin. We have a God who's ready to cleanse us, to wash us with the blood of Jesus Christ. What that really means is we're able to contact that blood that Jesus shed on the cross so that God could look at us and He doesn't see our sins, He sees us because we have been forgiven and we're right with God. We're right with the Heavenly Father. We're cleansed. We're those people that are there. Peter, at the house of Cornelius, lauded Jesus Christ as the one that those people needed to follow. Read Acts 10, verses 14 through 34 through 43, if you would, and you'll see that. Peter, James, and John, as I mentioned up here, look at these passages, write them down, and you look at those. If I get through on time, I'm not going to have time to go over all those. Linda's going to go, y'all look at Linda sometime. When he gets about time to go, she's going, I have had her to go, And if you get real bad, it's like, and then you know better get it finished. If any of y'all want that job, I'll give it to you. We've got to realize that this whole thing is Jesus Christ and His life. Not just Jesus Christ, but the life that He lived and the way that He conducted Himself, the way that He lived His life. Now, Christianity is about the moral and the ethical life that Jesus Christ lived and taught His disciples to live. That's what it's all about. It's not just Jesus Christ, but He's talking about how He lived, about how ethical He was in dealing with things. The kingdom is people who submit to God. In Galatians 2 and verse 20. Now look at what He says here. Where's that one at? Galatians 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. He's saying, listen, I've given up. I'm going to serve Jesus Christ. I'm going to do His will. The kingdom of God, the church of God, are people who have given up their will for the will of God. They've given up their way for the way God wants them to live. And so they're going to conduct themselves like Jesus Christ would live. Let me tell you something. We got to find out how He lived first. If you don't do that, you won't know which way to go. And don't think, I know what Jesus would do. Read about what He would do. And follow that. We need to read, we need to study, we need to find out about that. They are subject to Him. They're subject to Jesus Christ. They're subject to doing what He said there on this earth. Now, in heaven, of course, we're going to do what He says there. But the whole thing is while we're here on this earth, we've got to submit to Him. Now you see, in Romans 13, verses 1 through 7, it talks there about how that we are under the government that we have. We're very fortunate to be under the government that we have. It's got problems, but it's not as bad as some others. We're under the government that we have. It says there, to obey those that have the rule over you, do that. But listen, he goes on and helps us to understand in Philippians 3 and verse 20 that we are those people that are citizens of heaven. Now, we need to act like citizens of heaven. Now, citizens of this country, we show honor to the flag. We show honor to the president. We show honor to people who deserve that honor because they're helping the government to stay where it's at. And we need to do that. Please don't ever disrespect an office because of the officer. Change the officer, not the office. Change that. But here, he's trying to say to us, we're those people that are a part of heaven. We're those kingdom of heaven people. Those people that live that. I mean, we think this is life. We think what we're doing now is really life. Let me tell you something. This is preparatory to life. It's just preparing us for life. This is not it. Oh, you're going to get cancer. You're going to get sick. You're going to break a leg. You're going to break a this. You're going to have Alzheimer's. You're going to lose your mind. You're going to get old and wrinkled. All those things are going to come. That's this world. What does Jesus say about the world to come? None of that. Ladies, you're not going to have to worry about putting on makeup again. I'm going to let that alone. I'm not touching that. I am staying away from that one big time. You see, that's this old world. We're looking for the world to come. We're preparing ourselves. We're trying to live now as though we are people who believe in God, who trust in God, and we're going to do God's will. That's what we're trying to do right now. And if we're not doing that, we don't have to worry about life. We're going to get death. And I don't want you to get that. I want you to have life. And have it in a more abundant way. No tears, no death, no pain, no heartache. Why? Because that's going to be life. You know, that's the life that God wanted in the garden. When God created the world, He wanted man to love, to care, to obey Him. And you think, oh, what? They only had one rule. Just one. Only one. And they muffed that one. Look at all we've got. But you see, God wants us to come back to that. God wants to forgive us. He wants to cleanse us. He wants to put us in a place that is prepared for His people. Prepared in such a way that is so great. The Garden of Eden was the place for the physical man to be. It was the place that everything was there. Man did not have to earn his bread by the sweat of his brow. Women did not know that pain of birth. They didn't have that. This life is only preparatory for what life really, really is. And whatever you've got to do to get it, it's worth it. Somebody says, well, you know, God really is expecting a lot of me. Yes, He is, because He's giving you a lot. This is not cheap. Don't treat it as cheap. Treat it as something that's important. And what we're doing in this is helping the world to see the kind of people that we are. We need to have the humility like Jesus had. In John 13, what did He do there? Y'all going to have to break down someday and read this book. He washed feet, didn't He? Here's the disciples. All those disciples are sitting there, and Peter's saying, I'm not washing John's feet. I just tell you, I am not doing that at all. And Jesus got up, took off His coat, I don't have a towel, put it around Him, got a basin, walked around and started washing people's feet. Did all of them understand that? No. What did Peter do? Oh, Lord, you're not washing my feet. He said, if I don't wash your feet, if I don't help you to understand this, you're not going to be a part of the kingdom of God. He said, you're going to have to be a servant and serve other people. Forget about your power. Forget about how great you are, but you be a servant. Let me tell you something. That's what God's looking for. That's what is needed in the church. The problem is we're sitting around waiting for somebody else to do it. And we're saying, oh, I just don't have the ability to do that. Let me tell you something. You have the ability to do more than you even think about doing. And you need to do it. You need to do it. You need to use what you have. We need to have that kind of humility like Jesus had. They were those people who needed to learn to sacrifice. They needed to learn to give up a part of what they had. They needed to learn to act like the Father. Oh, let me tell you something. What is this thing of Christianity? What's it all about? It's about serving God, and we do that by serving others. We do that by giving our life to God. Giving everything we have to God. That's what we've got to. That's what the church is. The church is not just a bunch of people that sit in a building together. The church is people that where their heart is given to God. And when you give your heart to God, I kind of found out the rest of you goes along with it. That's the thinking, the intellect part of it. That's the life of it. And he's saying, give your life. Give everything you have. Let me tell you something. That's what we got to do. What is Christianity? Christianity is people that are trying to show God that they love Him and that they're going to serve Him. How do they do that? Well, obeying His Word. But they do it by service. By service. We got to serve. What's your service? What are you doing? Can you look at that and see service that you're rendering to God? If you can't, then let me tell you something. You better find something. Look for it. It's there. Find it. And put your heart into it. If it's just when you go to the grocery store, being nice to the person that's packing your groceries. It's even nice to your husband. Woo, that's a lot, isn't it, ladies? If you could only say amen. It's being nice to other people. It's being nice to your parents. It's being nice to your children. It's being nice to your enemies. Jesus said, you've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. What did Jesus say? I'm going to flip this world right side up now. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Help them. Do what you can for them. In fact, you do it first and show them that. What is your Christianity? What's it all about? Is it just coming to a service and sitting in a service and hearing a preacher and sitting there going, man, it's hard to stay awake this morning. He is so dull. Woof. That might be it. But let me tell you something. Give your life to this. I guarantee you, you give your life to it, you'll get more than you could ever think about. In heaven, when we're there, we're going to wonder, why in the world didn't I serve God in a greater way? Look at what I'm going to get. We have an invitation song. If you want to become a Christian today, we'll help you and assist you in every way that we can. If you, as a Christian, have sin in your life, and you want to repent of that, then we'll help you. We'll pray with you and for you. And let me tell you something. It's not the matter of us forgiving you. That needs to be. But it's a matter of God forgiving you. It doesn't make any difference if nobody forgives you in this world. I'm worried about what God does. If He forgives me, that's enough. I'd like to have it from other people, but I might not get it. But I want to be pleasing to God. Whatever you need to do, the invitation is open to come and be pleasing to God. Whatever we can do to help you to be able to do that, we want to do it right now. Please stand and please sing.